Blue Wire.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of The Rebuild. I'm Henry Ettinger, and back after his week-long hiatus is Jordan Klimack. Jordan, how did your vacation treat you, my friend?
Oh, it was good, man. It was a 3 or 4 day bender there. Got a little intense. Got a little out of hand, as they say. But it was good. Some much needed time off. But back and ready to dive into things, man. So let's go ahead and get right into it.
Real quick, for the listeners, did you end up playing some golf on your vacation?
I did, and it's a sad story. So I went out and played a birthday round of golf last Friday, and my driver ended up breaking during that round of golf. So
oh, no.
I'm currently without a driver, and yeah, so it's a sore subject. I'm not ready to talk about it yet, man. But of course, you got to try and bring it out of me, Henry. I've only been back for 2 minutes, and you're already making me talk about my broken driver, man. Come on.
I picked a sore subject. I have a quick funny story that I will share on this podcast, and then we'll actually get into the main topic. But one time I was playing with my dad. My dad's a pretty solid golfer, and he was really
What's his handicap?
He's about an 11 now. He okay, used to be pretty good. Used to be even better, and probably was better at this time. And he's really struggling. And so we're making a little bit of fun of him on the first tee, me and my uncle. And he hit. We may have made a bet that he was going to hit his drive into the water. And after hitting his drive into the water, my dad proceeded to throw his driver into the lake. Then he realized that he did not want to lose that driver. So my dad ended up stripping on the golf course into his underwear and dove after the driver in the golf course lake and was able to retrieve it.
That's dedication, man.
Yeah, he didn't snap it. So he was able to get it back. But that is a famous story in our household, is my uncle and I betting on my dad hitting at the water and then him chucking the driver into the middle of the course. Like, so Jordan, you're not alone. It is a very, very frustrating game.
Yeah. I'm just throwing a club in the water. And then like you have that realization, you know what? I kind of need that. And just going to dive right into the water. I can't say I've ever done that, but I have been that guy on the course to get very angry after a botched wedge shot and snapped a pitching wedge over my knee. And like you said, very frustrating game, and it brings out the worst in people sometimes.
it does. It's definitely the most frustrating sport. So we can transition to a less frustrating sport in football. Though, for Browns fans, I would argue it's been pretty frustrating, particularly at the quarterback position pre-Baker Mayfield. So now the Browns have a quarterback, right? And this is a decision the Browns fans and the Browns team hasn't really had to worry about in quite a long time. And that's whether or not to extend their quarterback and at what price, Jordan. And this has been the talk of the last couple of weeks, ever since Mike Tannenbaum called Baker Mayfield a replaceable part, and that, you know, extending him would lead the Browns down a mediocre path. We've talked about that before, but there was some more real news that came out since the last time we talked, Jordan, that I did want to discuss on the pod today. And then beyond that, get your thoughts on Baker's extension in general. So the biggest thing was that Jeremy Fowler reported that Baker Mayfield is not going to take a discount this summer. And that kind of came in conjunction with his agent saying that he thought something would get done this summer. So at first people were like, oh, maybe Baker's willing to take a little hometown discount. Then Jeremy Fowler reports, no, Baker is not going to take a discount. What did you make of those two reports that came out right before July 4th?
One, not surprising whatsoever. I mean, the way I look at it, Henry, is why should he? You know, why should he take a discount? I don't know. You know, this is a time where you got to go out and, you know, just before you're kind of entering your prime, this is that contract where you really start to make money. I don't think he's in the position whatsoever to say, you know, let me get that hometown discount right now. I think that comes later in your stage when you're a veteran and you've kind of been through wars and, you know, you've won a couple of big games here or there. Then you start saying, oh, I'll take a little bit of a discount on that third contract. And we'll see how the salary cap plays out with the rest of the team after that. But yeah, no, I just wasn't surprised by this, Henry. And I don't think he should. Do you? I mean, do you think he should? I definitely don't. I go get your money.
There is always a lot of pressure, I feel like, on NFL quarterbacks following Tom Brady to take a discount. And at this point, I think everybody's acknowledged that, hey, Tom Brady was in a totally different situation. He has a supermodel for a wife. He was in a position to take a discount that most other quarterbacks could not, without feeling the same impact. And then beyond that, you're right, Jordan, that Baker Mayfield, this is his, you know, his first chance to make, you know, that really generational type money. Of course, he's made money from his rookie contracts being the number one overall pick. But we're talking about $100 million-plus dollars in guaranteed money. I mean, that's a different level of financial wealth that you just can't pass up. And I would, if I was in his position, I wouldn't take a discount. This is somebody's money we're talking about. So I always find it ironic when people are talking about, oh, Baker Mayfield should take a discount. It's like, oh, well, if at your job, if they were like, oh, you like it here, so right. Why don't you take a discount? It's like, no, you still want to get paid what you want to get paid. And Baker Mayfield's in that same situation that many of us, you know, have been in, where it's like, yeah, we like our company, but also want to get the check too, that we're, you know, we're getting rewarded for our efforts.
Yeah, it all goes back to the same thing, right? It applies to everyday business, every person at their job or whatever. It's like, you have to look out for yourself, because at the end of the day, who's really looking out for you, right? I mean, that's what it comes down to. And especially at this age, I mean, I know he's making money with, you know, the Progressive commercials and all that, you know, those Progressive checks, they hit a little bit different than the NFL dollars do. But yeah, I mean, come on, go get your money, man. You're young, it's your time. And here's the other thing too. Can Browns fans be logical for a second? And like, are we really coming out with this? Baker should take a discount already. Like, come on. We haven't had a quarterback in how long? And you're in the second that, you know, the one quarterback that we do have is up for an extension. We're going to sit here like, yeah, you know, there's some other guys, you know, it'd be pretty nice if he would maybe give us a discount. No, stop. Let him get his money.
Yeah. It's a tough situation, because you don't want to do something ridiculous as the Browns front office, but you also have to recognize the position you're in, where if you're the Patriots, yeah, maybe you can take a risk to not, you know, not put a ton of money in the quarterback position. Like, at some point, somebody's going to decide, hey, our quarterback is not worth it. You know, we've seen the numbers. You know, basically every team that's won a Super Bowl in the last 15 years or so has had, you know, their quarterback either not making top 10 money, or a combination of their best couple players not making a third of the salary cap or so. It's kind of one of those two rules. So, you know, there is the thought that, hey, at some point somebody's going to say, we're not going to extend our quarterback for big money off this rookie contract. We're going to go at it again. That's not the Browns. That can be the Patriots or the Steelers or the Ravens, some other team that has had a history of success. The Browns cannot be the ones to take that kind of risk. I know they're an analytics-focused front office, but to get your first quarterback that's really a viable franchise option for the first time in several decades, they better not be the team to take that risk, at least from my perspective. I don't know if I could take that, Jordan.
So what do you think, Henry? Do you lean more towards like a payday kind of quote like we haven't really seen here, or do you lean more towards a – you know, discount kind of friendly deal? Because I'm honestly starting to lean towards the payday that we haven't seen yet type contract.
When you say payday we haven't seen yet, are you talking about resetting the market above Mahomes? Above
not above Mahomes, because I think he's in a class of his own. But when I think about the Baker contract, I always bring it back to Dak Prescott, right? And he signed that 4-year, $160 million deal. Now, you and I can both sit here and we know, yeah, Dak Prescott has all the stats and that. He still hasn't won a playoff game. Baker Mayfield has won a playoff game, and it looks like he's going to have a chance to win multiple playoff games for years to come. Now, I think that it's a strong and honestly at this point likely, because we see it all the time. If you remember with Myles Garrett, when he signed that extension and he became the highest paid defensive end in the NFL, and then 2 weeks later, Joey Bosa becomes the highest paid end. And like these things reset themselves every time a contract is up. So I think that it's a strong possibility that we're looking at north of $160 million here, maybe in the 175 to 200 range. I really wouldn't be shocked.
To me, the timing is important here. And I'll flip this question back to you. So do you think it gets done this summer? Let's talk about that report, because to me, that's going to be a big deciding factor in how much money this is. Does Baker get this done this summer, or is it something that gets done into the season or even next season after this season has played out? Because just going, you know, just looking at when these extensions have happened, Wentz was in June. Mahomes was in July. Goff and Watson were both in September, back-to-back years. So this is kind of the window right now. Typically, yeah. Once you get past September, it doesn't really happen in season. So, Gordon, do you think it gets done now? Because if it doesn't get done now, there's a lot more variability based on what happens this season, because Lamar Jackson's up for an extension, Josh Allen's up right. for an extension, Rodgers might restructure. There, a whole lot of other factors could come into play if it's next summer.
I really do think that it gets done this summer, and it's kind of a twofold thing, right? So we heard from Baker's agent, who actually sat down with Tony Grossi, colleague of mine, and you know, he said like, "Hey, the ball is kind of in the Browns' court, right? Like we're ready to go. It's kind of on the team," which I don't know if I read too much into that. If that's just kind of the agent playing the team, you know, through the media, you know, it could be one of those situations. But at the same time, you look at it from the Browns perspective, right? It would make sense if you're the Browns front office. And we know every move that they make is very calculated when you talk about, you know, Andrew Berry and Paul D. Podesta and how they kind of evaluate things from a front office standpoint. I think it makes sense for them to get this deal done in July sometime, maybe August, and in training camp, before the season starts in general. I think it makes sense. I think the team would want to, because again, Henry, you talked about the different variables that come into play if this goes on beyond this year and we let the regular season play out, because I don't think that there will be contract negotiations going on during the season. But again, the better he plays in each game, he becomes a little bit more expensive. Now, if you wait to do this till next year, and say the Browns make that Super Bowl run, say they make that run of the AFC Championship game that a lot of people are hoping and even expecting, then all of a sudden he becomes a lot more expensive than he is right now. Then I think you're looking at north of $200 million, somewhere in the 250 range. And again, that's unheard of money. So and then when you talk about the guys on the back end, like a Denzel Ward and a Nick Chubb, and I think that the front office values re-signing those guys and keeping those guys here long-term, it makes sense, I think, from the Browns' perspective to get this deal done. However, if you flip it over to the other side, does it make sense for Baker to get it done? I don't know. You know, I mean, I'm sure we know the kind of person that he is. He likes to bet on himself. He likes when he's doubted. So if he's going to bet on himself, his best bet is probably to, say, look, I don't want to get a deal done. I'm going to bet on myself this year and see how it goes. Because again, if the Browns make that playoff run that we expect them to make, all of a sudden his price becomes a lot more expensive, Henry.
And that's the key right there, Jordan, for me. As I've thought about this more and more, I don't think an extension is going to get done this summer, because I don't think, if you're Baker Mayfield, it makes sense to do this summer. So you look at the market and...
So then real quick. So if that's the case, then do you think what his agent said was just totally to put this on the team and not have it be like, hey, it's our end that doesn't want to get this done. Like, hey, we're just waiting for them. Like, you think that's just total agent speak?
Exactly. I think he's putting the pressure on the Browns, because here's the thing. It 100% makes sense if you're the Browns to do it this summer, right? Because like we just talked about, Lamar Jackson's going to reset the market. Josh Allen's going to reset the market. And Baker Mayfield is in an extremely advantageous situation this year. He's got a great setup around him, a great offensive line. Like you said, the Browns are likely, you know, projected to win double-digit games and go to the playoffs. If that happens, the price is only going up. So if you're Baker Mayfield, you're sitting there and like, unless I get hurt, there's really a high, high chance my price is going up, unless they're already giving me the Dak Prescott type of money, $40 million plus annually. If you're the Browns, giving that kind of money, $40 plus million annually right now, when you could wait another season, when you're still going to have to pay something absurd anyway at that point, it doesn't make sense if you're the Browns to pony up all that money now. So yes, that's exactly what I think is happening. I think the agent is trying to position it to put it on the Browns, put some pressure on them, because likely what happened is this. This is just total speculation from my part. You've got Dak, you've got Mahomes, and you've got Watson. Watson's a shade under $40 million, but those three guys are right now at the top of the market. Wilson is fourth at $35 million a year. Then you get into Goff, Kirk Cousins, Wentz, whatever. My guess is the Browns would offer something right now in the mid-30s in terms of annual value for Baker Mayfield. Put him right around Russell Wilson, maybe slightly ahead, slightly below. Just, you know, Wilson signed his deal a little while ago, but, you know, they're probably saying, hey, we're not going to go over Watson. We're not going to go over Dak at this point.
How can you not? How can you not, though? That's my question. Is how can you justify saying that? We're not going to pay you, like, you're our guy, but hey, we're not going to pay you as much as this guy that really hasn't done anything other than lead his team to mediocrity for a handful of years. But I don't know how you can justify that. And then if that's the case, doesn't that offend him in the negotiation process?
I do think it would offend him or potentially, but I think the Browns' positioning on it would be, hey, we're going to be happy to pay you that if you perform this well again this year. But 2 years ago, without Kevin Stefanski, you know, and this is, again, this is just from what the Browns would be saying is, hey, 2 years ago, you wouldn't have gotten this extension at all. So, you know, this, you played great last year, and we expect you to do that well again. And if you do, we're going to pay you what the market tells, you know, says we're going to pay you. But we're not going to pay you a year early to reset the market when we're going to have to do that anyway if you play that well a year later.
But so here are the other things that play into that, though. Are you in agreement that you think that, like, because I mentioned the other guys, like a Nick Chubb, a Denzel Ward, we throw Wyatt Teller into that mix as well, of guys that are going to be due for extensions here. Don't you think it makes sense from a financial standpoint for a team to say, hey, let's figure out this quarterback situation first. Let's take care of that. Let's get that off the books and then worry about the other guys on the back end. I think that plays into it as well. In terms of the immediacy of getting a deal done with Baker,
I don't think it's going to make a huge difference. To be honest, I think the Browns can plan around that, especially because I don't think they're necessarily going to extend Nick Chubb earlier than they have to. So I don't think it's a huge concern. And really, with all these guys, I think with Ward too, they're probably not. And maybe with Ward, they'll find some sort of agreement that kind of makes sense for both sides, given his injury history, where he may be willing to kind of, you know, ease some of the burden, but just because of his injuries, that he may not want to take on that risk.
Well, and so he's actually from here, right? When you talk about the quote unquote hometown discount.
Yeah, that part too. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, are the Browns really ahead of time going to reset the market minus Patrick Mahomes for Baker Mayfield? To me, that feels a little high. And so my point would be, hey, we're just going to wait it out if that's the kind of money he's looking for. Now, I don't think he should take a discount, but I don't think you know, if the Browns and Baker reach a deal that's $38 million a year, to me, that's not a discount for Baker Mayfield. That's making him the third or fourth highest paid quarterback in the league when he's not playing at that level right now. I mean, he's maybe the eighth best quarterback in the league, but to me, that's a reasonable price to come to. That's not really a discount. But if you're Baker, you're probably saying, screw that. In a year, that'll be the eighth highest salary because Lamar will get paid, because Josh Allen will get paid. And a year from now, you're going to be forced to pay me 43, 44. You know, and that may be the case, but if I'm the Browns, I'd be like, cool, we'll be happy to do that a year from now.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. And I guess if that's the case too, do you know, people in the national media, and I guess you could even localize it, have, you know, for whatever reason, spend 20 out of the 24 hours a day trying to pick random things to pick apart at Baker. And I can just see it right now, right? Of, you know, the whole, you know, if you know, the Browns do have a successful year and they wait on this contract extension, and then all of a sudden it becomes Baker's asking for that Mahomes-ish type money. Then all of a sudden, you know, the conversation is going to be, well, does he really value winning then? Because, like, you know what I mean? Like, because if he did, then he'd be taking less money to keep all the, you know, the good players around him that are going to be up for extension. So I can already see that being the case. And I'm just going to go back to what, Baker's agent had said, Jack Mills, being Baker's agent. Again, he did say that he expected a deal to get done this season. And he also said verbatim that they aren't going to wait out the other two quarterbacks in terms of Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson to get their deals done. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what exactly happens, Henry, and how this exactly plays out. But it's one of those things where I mean, of course, it's like, you know, the bad radio answer to say, but like, I really do see both things being strong possibilities. I know that's, you know, not, no one's getting out of their chair like, oh, he just came out with such a staunch stance on something. But I mean, that's just kind of the reality.
Well, let me ask you this. What would be your walk away number for Mayfield? If his agent comes out and says, we want $45 million a year, like Patrick Mahomes, is that too much? You know, Dak's at 42. If he asks at 43, is that too much? You know, what's the line for you, Jordan, where, you know, if you're the Browns in this position, you're saying, no, we're going to wait it out.
Probably. It's 45 for Mahomes, correct? 45 a year.
Yeah, 45 annually for Mahomes. And yeah, what did I say? Oh, Dak's at 40.
Dak's at 40, right.
And then Watson's 39-ish.
It would have, like, because look, I mean, God, I keep coming back to it, but Henry, it's like Deshaun's at 39, Dak's at 40. It's factual to say that Baker has done more in his career than those guys. I know you can point to the stats and, you know, the eye test and all that. He has. You can't argue. He's won a playoff game.
You can argue that Deshaun Watson has done more than Baker Mayfield in his career.
Has he taken his team to the playoffs and won a playoff game?
He's taken his team to the playoffs. I mean,
but has he won a playoff game? And so there's a difference between getting into the playoffs and winning
the
game.
He's also had more consistent seasons than Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield's had one full season that was consistent, and then his rookie year was a great rookie year. But Deshaun Watson's played at a top 10 level every season he's been in the NFL.
And that year two, we sat on this podcast, you and I both, and said that that's an anomaly. That's almost a throwaway, that everything that was going on that year. So, I mean, if you take that away, it's two great years and a playoff win. And it's not just a playoff win. It's 18 years of not making the playoffs and you know, 27 years of not winning a playoff game, winning in Pittsburgh. Like, all that matters. And all that is more impressive to me than anything Dak Prescott has done or Deshaun Watson has done. It just is.
I mean, I agree with you on Dak. I don't agree with you on Watson. I think right now today, like, if you just pulled the average NFL team, would they rather have Deshaun Watson or Baker Mayfield? Everybody's taking Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I mean, I don't read into any of that, because if you pulled people on who you'd rather have, Justin Herbert or Kyler Murray, they're both still going to pick those two guys over Baker Mayfield, and that's complete nonsense with all these damn lists that I see coming out with Kyler Murray, so the seventh-ranked quarterback, and all this bullshit.
You wouldn't take Deshaun Watson over Baker Mayfield right now? Like, forget Cleveland. Like, if you're the Chargers, like, you wouldn't take Deshaun Watson over Baker Mayfield right now.
I mean, I can give you the kind of bullshit answer and say, obviously not with everything that's going on with Deshaun Watson.
Okay, but sure.
But no, I mean, realistically, do I think that from a skill set standpoint, Deshaun Watson is probably a little bit more dynamic and valuable, maybe, but I don't think it's by a lot. I definitely don't think it's enough to warrant, like, those just nonsense trade discussions that we had to address earlier in the year. I don't think it's enough to warrant that. So I don't know. I just think that when it comes down to it, you can sit here and say that he's done more, and I expect Baker to do more than both of those guys. I mean, you could maybe sit here and say, well, Deshaun Watson is more mobile than Baker, so he's more valuable, whatever. At the end of the day, I'm looking at wins and losses. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, so, all right. So we've got 40 is Dak and 45 is Mahomes. It sounds like you're somewhere in the middle there. Is that fair to say? So give me the number in there. Is it 45? I mean, is that the line?
Or 45. I draw the line just because, like, hey, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is, I mean, dude's walking on water in Kansas City. I mean, he's in the league of his own right now, but I just think that I understand the Cowboys too, but I'm just going to keep going back to it. I don't think you can justify paying him less than Dak Prescott. I just don't know how that's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to use another team's. I mean, to me, I see the Dak Prescott contract as a mistake. So
you know
I don't
what
want to
I,
use that as
I
a
mean,
justification.
Though. Right. But though, like, at the end of the day, when you look at it and say, like, when it comes down to extensions, because like we said, I think these things reset themselves. And not to mention, too, I don't know if, you know, the NFL has that crazy TV deal kicking in next year. Like, does that play into it as well? Is it going to be one of those things where we look at it now, like, this is such a ridiculous contract? And then in a couple of years, like, no, 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 that was a contract that was kind of prepared to take on the rise in salary that each team is going to see every year.
Yeah, and that may be the other piece of this. And it's always talked about in the NBA. I do think it's an interesting possibility in the NFL, too, is they always talk about years, not dollars, sometimes right. is the key distinction. And maybe this is a deal for Baker that's an extra year or something a little bit longer to give the Browns, you know, a little bit of a carrot for going into the 40s. You know, if the Browns go to 41 or exceed that Dak deal, for me, I'm not going to throw my arms up in the air just because, like you said, these things reset themselves with Lamar, with Josh Allen yeah. coming. To me, it's like, okay, if you're going to go above 40, I almost want them to do it quickly. So it's just above 40 or something, you know, where they don't have to also go above Lamar, above Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I think 38, 39 would be the number I would look for, but that may be unrealistic at this point. He may just say no, but if it's me, then as I said, the reason I think this doesn't get done is if I'm the Browns, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, we could walk away and make you prove it for another year. Maybe that's a bad idea, because if he does play that well, they're going to have to pay even more than the low 40s. I just think to me, the risk reward there, it starts to get dicey once you're up into the $40+ million a year range. I mean, guys like Wentz and Goff are making 33 or 32. I mean, it's a different situation when you're talking about getting into the 40s. These just keep going up so much, you know, with Mahomes. I mean, he really just, honestly, Mahomes threw a whole wrench in this by going that high. I know he's the best quarterback and he deserved to reset the market by that much, but it's getting to insane at this point. You mentioned it, the cap's going to go up. It's projected to go up year over year here, $10 million plus every year. So ultimately, I don't think it's a massive hamstring, but I just like to see another season out of Baker if I'm going to put it at $42 million a year or something like that.
You're under the you want an extension, right? Like, you're not one of those guys that like, hey, I need to see more of this year, because I've the amount of calls that I've taken and all that of people like, you know, I don't know about an extension, man. I might need to see another year. What are you talking about? It's like, what more do you need to see?
To me, it's not a question of the extension. It's a question of, okay, if Baker plays like, if he has like a slight regression from last year and the Browns go, you know, 10-7 and get and lose in the, you know, lose by a touchdown in the first round of the playoffs. To me, then, you're like, okay, Baker's still got to be the quarterback. Like, he's still a top 12 guy. You have to extend those guys. Top 12 quarterbacks are not replaceable parts, despite whatever Mike Tannenbaum, whatever he was trying to say.
You don't want to bind yourself to mediocrity in the words of Mike Tannenbaum.
But if you're paying the 10th or 12th best quarterback, I don't want to pay him record-setting money either. And so that's the distinction to me is I feel like right now there's still a huge range on where Baker slots in as far as the NFL quarterback hierarchy. If he's 12, to me, the extension conversation is just different numbers versus if he's like 7, 6. You know, if he has an unbelievable year and you're like, maybe this guy could be a top 5 quarterback, cool, we're resetting the market tomorrow. Like, that's fine. But if he's 12, then you're like, all right, I want an extension because there's no other way to go about this, but I don't want to have to do something ridiculous here.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, to go back to your point, it's all timing, right? Because we can sit here and say, wow, record setting money, kind of like, what are we doing? Didn't expect it to be that much. And that could only be the conversation for like 2 months. Right. And then all of a sudden it's Josh Allen. And then all of a sudden like, wow, record setting money. And then all of a sudden it's Lamar Jackson. And then in a couple of years, it's Justin Herbert, it's Joe Burrow, it's these guys. So I you know what I mean? I think that maybe that could happen. And if it does, though, it's only going to be the conversation for a short period of time.
Yeah. Ah, gosh, it's a tough call, right? Like, this is not,
yeah,
this is part of the reason I think people are a little bit all over the place on this topic is it's not cut and dry. Like if he's Mahomes, it's one thing. If right. he's, I want to say Goff, but they extended Goff anyway because they went so far. But, you know, if he's a Kirk Cousins level type of guy, you know, then it's not so difficult of a problem. You're not worried about it. You're like, all right, cool. Like if he plays well, we'll extend him. But if he doesn't, like we can get rid of him. So, yeah, I don't know. To me, it's just like either way, Baker Mayfield's going to be the quarterback of this team. And that's the thing, right?
Yeah,
it's like,
and he should be. And he should be.
Yeah, they have his fifth-year option. Like, if they could never reach an extension, like, you've got the franchise tags. Like, Baker is not going anywhere from this team. Yeah. It's just a question of, hey, what we're doing for an extension, does this make sense for where our team is right now?
And technically speaking, you can wear out that franchise tag for four straight years. So, for five years from now, we're likely still going to have Baker Mayfield on this team. I mean, that's another rabbit hole that you don't want to get down of, you know, franchise tagging year after year, because you talk about that market value. That's how the franchise tag work. It goes to the highest paid player at that position. You make that kind of money. So, I mean, that's another rabbit hole that you don't want to get into. I think the Browns would like to avoid that situation as well, and as would Baker, for a long-term situation when you're talking about those years on the contract.
Yeah, but again, it's one of those things where it's like they're not going to get to the end of the franchise tax, but it's like you could pick up the fifth-year option and do a franchise tag for a year and still work out. Yeah. Like there's
yeah, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, there's almost no scenario that I can envision unless Baker suffers a catastrophic injury, knock on wood.
Bite your tongue.
I knocked on wood. I have a wood table, I promise. All unless right. something like that happens. The Browns are not getting rid of Baker. And that's why, yes, the trade talks, all that kind of stuff are ridiculous. It's just figuring out what makes sense from a team building perspective, you know, where you have the appropriate amount of invested in your quarterback. Whether, you know, if he's a top six guy, boom, we have the top six money invested in him. If he's a top 12 guy, we've got top 12 money invested in him. That's what I think is the key about this discussion and why it's such a difficult choice is because, like you talked about, year two was such an anomaly. Year three was almost an anomaly in the sense that like things went so well. There's such a large gap between what the Baker Mayfield was in year two versus year three. You're like, well, where the hell does he fall in that?
And to take it one step further, there's such a large gap between Baker Mayfield of week three last year and like week 13 of last year, right? Like that, you have to take that into consideration as well.
Yeah, we were just talking about it. I actually, while you were gone, I had a guest on, John Vogel, who's a huge Baker Mayfield guy. He had him as the number one QB in the draft in 2018 and has been defending him ever since. And he was, you know, we were talking about the last, you know, 8-10 weeks of the season where Baker Mayfield looked like a top five guy. And he was saying, yeah, I think he can still get there. You know, usually quarterbacks historically don't take that kind of leap this late in their career, where they really, you know, usually if you're a top five guy, like it's apparent right away.
Yeah.
There are exceptions, Russell Wilson being one of them, but for the most part, guys don't take that major leap this late in their career. But if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be Baker Mayfield, because he basically lost the first 2 years plus of his career. And he's like, all of a sudden we just saw him play like a top three quarterback the last 8 weeks of the season. Why couldn't he be a top five or six guy? And I'm not ruling that out either. It's like, okay, if we see that, then yeah, screw it. We're paying him whatever we want. If he's that guy, let's do it. Let's go for it. Like, oh, okay. Like, sure, we're going to have to pay him more money, but that's the best problem in the world to have.
Exactly. And all right. So real quick, before we sign off, I got to get your take. September 12th, obviously, you know, game one, regular season, Browns versus Chiefs in Kansas City. Give me a percentage that Baker Mayfield will have an extension done with the Browns before September 12th.
I'm going to say 25%. As I said,
so you're thinking unlikely.
I don't think it's going to get done, because I think Baker rightfully is going to say, I'm going to play better this year than the kind of money you're offering me. And the Browns are going to say, all right, we'll wait it out if that's the case. So my guess is the Browns will go into the high 30s with their offer, and Baker will turn it down, and then he'll play well and he'll get $45 million a year next year. That's my hope, frankly. But I think the Browns will take that risk, is my guess, that they'll use that year to double check, you know, collect more data points, double check Baker is the guy they think he is, and go from there. That's my hunch. If they come in at, you know, in the low 40s, I'm not going to be shocked. I'm not going to be board if they get something done. I just think it's more than likely that they will.
All right, so I'm going to flip it completely from what you said, and I'm going to go with 75%. I just think that this is going to happen, and I think it's going to happen. I wouldn't be surprised, Henry, if we're sitting here in 2 weeks and you and I are doing a reaction podcast to the Baker Mayfield contract extension. Now, I'm not reporting anything, but you know, through conversations I've had with people that are close with the Browns and close to that situation, there's a pretty general understanding that Baker, the Browns understand that Baker is the guy and they're ready to move forward with it. And Baker understands that the Browns understand that he's the guy, if that makes sense. There's a lot of understanding going on there, but I just think that's the case. I think they're ready to get it rolling. I have heard from people inside the organization that say that like this is without question the most dialed in from a front office to head coach to the players, all buying in and ready to just keep this team together and move forward that they've ever seen really ever in Berea. And right, we're going back to, you know, the success in the 90s and the 80s and all of that. Like that's the conversation that's going around in around Berea. So if that's the case, I think that they are ready to go forward with this. And again, I think that we're going to, before September 12th, Henry, I think that you and I are going to be doing a podcast reacting to a Baker Mayfield contract extension. I really do.
I tell you what, I do think, and as I said, I'll stick with my prediction, but I do think if I'm wrong, you're correct in that I'm going to be wrong soon. Because they're not going to want to wait. Like if the Browns are committed to getting this done, no matter what, they're not going to want to wait until a Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen contract comes in, because that's going to, you know, reset the market once again. So I do think you're right. Like if I'm wrong, it's a high likelihood that I'm wrong in the next like 2 to 3 weeks.
So the thing about it, that's why I said September 12th, that first week too, because I think that once we click in the regular season, it's full systems go. It's you're thinking about football Monday through Sunday, really, right? Like you're focused on the task at hand. You know, Stefanski's big thing of preaching to his players last year was like 1 week at a time. You focus on this week, move on the next week, focus on that week. I really think that the team takes on the mindset of him. So I don't think that there will be contract negotiations during the season. That's why I set that week one. But yeah, I'll be ready to tell you that you might be wrong in a couple of weeks here, Henry.
I will be prepared to admit it, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll find out. All right, Jordan, I think that's enough for this episode. As we're recording this, it's July 13th. It'll come out a little bit later, but in exactly 2 weeks, Browns training camp begins, July 27th. I looked it up before the show. It's exactly 2 weeks from today. Browns training camp will begin. So we got plenty more to talk about. There's going to be great training camp position battles going on. Plenty of other storylines as the Browns actually get to run their first like real training camp under Kevin Stefanski and company that's not hampered by COVID restrictions in the same way that they were last year. So, Jordan, we got football and coming to us sooner rather than later.
It's funny how fast these things start, Henry, because I remember like months ago, you and I doing, you know, really kind of just starting this podcast together, and it was really at the end of the last year, right? Like the whole season had wrapped up and we were kind of like, all right, we're super excited. Let's give everyone some good content, getting ready for this new Browns season. And all of a sudden it's like, it's here. And like you said, 2 weeks till training camp. I plan on being out at training camp. There's still a lot to be determined in terms of, you know, media, fans, and all that stuff has to still be worked out with the team. But I do plan on being out there at least once or twice a week. So, hey, I mean, be happy to provide everyone out there with some updates on what I'm seeing, and you and I will be breaking down position battles, you know, what we're going to expect to see from the rookies, how the injured guys are looking coming back. There's a lot of good stuff to break down, so got to keep it right here, man. We'll have it all for you here on the rebuild.
Yes, we will. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, Browns fans, two words for you: go Browns.